Today's episode is all about something I have never done before, moving across the world for 6 months and doing it all debt-free. Anisha is a freelance bookkeeper who has always described herself as a saver. She started using the Debt-Free Mom Pay Period Budget template about 2 years ago and used this tool to help her and her husband spend half of 2023 in Southeast Asia. Here's her story. All right, Anisha, thanks so much for coming on the Debt-Free Mom podcast. I'm excited to chat with you today about all things budgeting and traveling on a budget. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited. I've been following you for a while, so it's kind of weird, like, being out here now.
Being able to chat together one-on-one. Yeah. I told you right before we started recording, like, when your name came up, I was like, I absolutely know who that is. I recognize your name from Instagram, so it's really fun to be able to talk together. So for those listening, what do you do and how long have you been budgeting on the Debt-Free Mom template?
So I am a bookkeeper for small businesses. So I work remotely, so all online. And then before that, I actually did sign language interpreting for like 8 years. And then I left bookkeeping for going on 3 years. So I've just always, like, I never had a W-2 job, like a regular 9-to-5, really. Except for like 1 month, I worked in a bookstore, like a college bookstore. But yeah, like, so always been 1099. And then for the budgeting, so that means like I've always had like a variable income. It's never been regular. So I've just been used to budgeting, like just accounting for that. But before the pay period budget, I had like it was a budget. I've always been a saver, but like on the budgeting side, it was always just either I wrote things down, like before I discovered spreadsheets on paper, what my paycheck was, and then just making sure I had enough for that like semester, you know, in college. And then when I got married, since I was kind of already used to trying to figure out the budget, I just became the budgeting person for my husband and I. And so again, like around that time, I finally figured out spreadsheets. So I was using spreadsheets to try to budget. And I even looked for my old ones, and it's like, you know, little charts where it's like groceries, how much, like the utility bill, how much, like, you know. And then I would make colors to try to make it a little bit nicer to look at, but it was, yeah, they were not easy to keep up with. Like, that was the hard part. I'm like, I wanted to make sense to my brain and just never did. And then I used like another app that was like the envelope system online, the Good Budget. I don't know if you've heard of that one. But yeah, that one was not helpful either. It was, yeah, it was confusing. YNAB, I know people like it, but I'm not a fan. I tried it. It didn't work with my brain. I know people like it, though. I'm like, it didn't work for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think it is really about finding something that works well for your brain, because with any system, including my own, there's some people who are like, oh my gosh, finally it makes sense. And then other people who are like, this just doesn't click with me. And that's why I think there just needs to be a variety of tools out there, because everybody's going to have something different that just feels right for them. So yeah. When you found the template, like what was intriguing about it to you?
So I'm trying to go back to when I think I just randomly found you on Instagram. And then when you were talking about the budgeting, the pay period budget, and I was like, I think intrigued because it could show you how much you were off every pay period, either how much extra you had or how much like not enough. Because like when I was budgeting before, I wouldn't know I was off, but I didn't know much or when it happened. Because, you know, like trying to do like once a month budgeting, it's like you're supposed to have this much, and then for some reason at the end of the month you're short and you've been and so like from my brain, I'm like, if I could just get the number, then maybe I could figure out what's going wrong. Like, is it the groceries? Because groceries is always the hardest thing. Like, I tried so many ways to budget groceries better. I even had like its own little account set up, like, so I could just spend from that account. But the problem was, beginning of the month, I'd be like, we have plenty, and then go grocery shopping. And then at the end of the month, it's like, all right, well, you're going to have to cut stuff or just pull from the next month. So, yeah. So anyway, that's why I like the pay period when you were talking about it, because you were saying like, oh, at the number at the top, you know if you have extra or not enough, and then you can adjust. And I'm like, oh, I need that like real time adjusting. Yeah.
Nice. So you feel like it maybe clicked a little faster because you're a bookkeeper, so you're a little bit more numbers and spreadsheet minded already.
Maybe. It's funny because before, like, really learning bookkeeping, when I was just the interpreting side, I actually didn't know bookkeeping very or proper bookkeeping. So I was learning it around the time I found your budget. And so maybe that's what helped it make more sense. I have like both sides where I'm like, I have no idea how this works for real. And now I do, but I still remember what it feels like for it not to make sense. Yeah, I think both sides.
So does your husband have a W-2 job? Like, what pay schedule do you plan your pay period budget around?
Yeah, so he has a W, it's changed a few times, but it's usually every 2 weeks he gets. I think he had one job where it was paid every, kind of kept the budget the same and just to keep consistency. So I always plan around his because it's more consistent than we do it. But I do still like to do weekly check-ins, even though I know like he's paid twice a week. But I find if I like try to wait 2 weeks to do our pay recruit budget, then it's like there's surprises. So I like to check in every week.
So since you are 1099, you can kind of decide that for yourself. How often then do you pay yourself? Do you do it to match him too?
Before finding you, I was doing it once. I was following Profit First. So yeah, so I found Profit First like maybe half a year before yours. So like Profit First got my business running better. It's almost like peer budget was like Profit First for like my personal stuff. Cause I was thinking like, oh, I need something like this for my personal budget.
I felt the opposite way. I had been pay period budgeting for years and then read Profit First as I was trying to build a business. And I was like, all the principles line up so well. It's just like he is kind of adjusting it for what a business needs instead of like what a household needs. I think too, it doesn't really matter which one you do first. If you're a small business owner or freelancer and you kind of do the Profit First and you like that and you understand, I think that is the whole like budgeting ideal for me, regardless of, you know, business or personal, is like to use what you actually have as opposed to trying to like constantly catch up from what you've already done. Because I feel like that's especially a temptation of business owners, is to spend money you don't yet have in the hopes that it turns into profit later. And so that Profit First idea of like taking the revenue you have and then actually paying yourself and making sure that you're doing those kind of things, it really does make a difference in how your business feels. And then that same kind of thing applies to your personal finances too, is if you're not always trying to catch up and like reimburse yourself from the savings account you pulled from or pay down the credit card that you put expenses on. If you're only acting with money that you already have, it really does give you a lot more peace of mind and freedom, even though a lot of times people feel like it might be the opposite with a budget.
Yeah. Well, and then clarity too, because, you know, you're just trying to keep track of what's happening with your money. And I just want things simple. Like, I don't want to have to spend too much brain power just trying to figure, because, you know, there's other things you have to do, like personally in business. So I'm like, Profit First kept it simple. And then the paper. And so I paying myself, I think I started doing the 15th of the month, the 10th of the month and 25th. I have it written down because I always forget the days. So I kind of follow that roughly to pay myself like from my business.
Yeah, we do the same. So you were doing that for a while, the pay period budget, and you kind of switched to that and found a method that felt like it worked better just for the way that you're wired and what you needed in your personal finances after getting on board with Profit First in your business. So now what we really want to focus on for the episode is something really big and cool that you were able to do because, you know, you had decided this was something you wanted to do and then you made the financial changes necessary to make it happen. So can you tell us a little bit about what you guys decided to do that was really unique in the summer of 2023?
So my husband and I wanted to go to Southeast Asia, specifically Thailand, for a while. And so we finally decided that 2023 in the summer would work, like my business would be running. And then it would be a good time for my husband to take time off from work because he's been working since he was like 16, like a teenager. He's never really had time off. So we're like, well, we're going to give you extended time off and then make that coincide with a trip to Thailand because, you know, cost of living there is lower. And like looking, using the new pay period budget, I could like look ahead and plan for expenses. I'm like, I think we can do it with like what my business has. We had savings. I like to call it an opportunity fund. Just because it gives us the opportunity to do stuff, because you don't have to worry about like, oh, we can't stop working. So like we would have that money set aside. So we're like, yeah, I think we can do.
Were you owning or renting at the time? What did it look like to start once you decided that, like in the 6 months or so before you left? What kind of changes did you have to make to like your housing? Did you store your cars? What did that look like? And how did that maybe impact your finances to kind of prepare yourself for going overseas for an extended period of time?
Yeah, so we rented an apartment. And so that was kind of one of the biggest ones. It's like, should we keep renting while we're gone and come back to it after 3 months, or just like let it go and just rent again when we come back? And so what we decided was just let it go and rent when we come back, which actually worked out because we originally planned for like 3 months to be gone. And then we ended up extending it to 6 months. So that would have been hard if we'd kept the apartment. But so since we decided not to rent, the lease was coming up in like about 2 or 3 months before we left. And so it was, and you know, lease options, it's only either like 6 months or 12 months or longer. So we would have to go month to month. So that was one of the things I had to like put in the budget to see like how that would impact us. It's like, can we pay, I think it was an extra like $200 a month. And so, yeah, like putting the numbers into the budget. So like for the apartment, how would that before we leave and then after. And then I looked at all the expenses we would pay for while we were gone. Because, you know, there's still things like car insurance that you still have to pay for. Like I have the pay period budget. And then I think I use like the vacation planner modified a bit to see like what we had to pay for while we were gone, like total cost. And then we were bringing in and our like savings. And so like how that impacted it, and like I'm trying to think, and then obviously like utility expenses, stuff we don't have to pay for, I would take that out of the budget. Oh, and I had like my regular budget, and then I just copied the tab for the time period we were gone, and then I used that one to play around with because I didn't want to mess up my main budget until I was sure.
Yeah, I love being able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I played around with that one to see how the numbers turned out. There was, so the car insurance, we still have to pay for that. And what we decided with those is because, like, we both have family and, like, city we live in, we're in our hometown. So, like, one car would go to his dad's, and sometimes I think they used it while we were gone. And then the other car left with my dad because he, like, my brother still lived at home. So I think they would drive it while we were gone. And we're like, that works out. It's like, we don't need it.
Yes, it does. And so did you keep working while you traveled, or did you also take time off?
So I kept work. I would just make time off during the day to like, you know, go like walk around or do excursion. But since I work remotely fully, even before I left, and I kind of built time into my schedule, so it wasn't too bad. I kind of felt like it was because during the pandemic, back when I was interpreting, it got really slow. So I actually didn't work very much during then. So I kind of had like my own little sabbatical. That's kind of where I got the idea. I was like, man, this is nice. Like my husband needs time off too. Because I kind of got it. And then I'm like, it's your turn now. Yeah. So that's kind of what it was. It's like, it'll be your turn. He actually ended up helping me while we were gone. Like, so he actually learned a bit of bookkeeping too. Uh-huh. So it was nice. It's like it was like a working vacation, I guess. Like when people ask us how it was, it's like, I mean, it was kind of like daily life somewhere else because we're also really like chill people. I'm homebodies who travel. So we like to be home, but we like to travel. So
yeah. I love that you were, and I think you almost probably experience wherever you go in a different way by being like a normal person with a job as opposed to like approaching it from like a tourist point of view. Mm-hmm. So in planning, like if somebody's listening and they're like, how would I even go about doing this? How did you kind of get a good pulse on what the cost of living would be when you were there? Like when you say you duplicated that tab and kind of mapped out what your expenses would be, where did you pull those numbers from when you were estimating before you actually got there?
So I obsessively watched travel YouTuber videos, but digital nomads, people who either are long-term travelers, like I guess expats, kind of like that kind of content, because they're focused more on like daily life expenses, like getting accommodation, how much that costs, food. So you definitely don't want like just people traveling for vacation, because those are very dampers. So yeah, I watched all that content, found their like blogs, all the information put out, and then kind of took those numbers, like for rent. Like the big ones I would say are rent and food, at least for us. Like we like to walk around. Like a lot of the stuff we enjoy doing is kind of free, like board games, walking, like visiting a site or there. But most of our biggest expenses would be like where we're staying and what we're eating, because we liked coffee and like good drinks and food. So those are the big ones I focused on. And transportation, you're going to places, you don't have to have a car, you don't need to rent a car unless you want to. You can usually get around with public transport or on foot. So that one I didn't focus on too much, just like how much it costs to use like the train or like a Uber if you need to, or their version. So it's kind of the numbers I focused on. It's like lodging, food, transport. And then activities, you can adjust up or down depending on how much you...
So was there anything that surprised you once you actually got there and you were like, okay, now I'm like living and breathing the budget that I planned out, and now I'm in this different country? Was there anything where you were like, oh, this was either more expensive or less expensive than I planned for, or just different in general once you were actually in country?
I would say lodging, it's kind of like here in the U.S. where if you rent for a year or more, it's obviously going to be cheaper over time. But if you're doing like short, so it was easier to find shorter term over there, but it's, you know, a little bit more expensive than like the local prices for longer. So that was not too surprising, because I kind of expected it from my research. I guess just how it was easier to find it, that was surprising. But also, and I don't know if that makes sense, easier to find than I thought for someone who wasn't from there. There we go. So that was surprising. And then how much more common it is to find furnished places there than it is in the U.S. So it's more common. You can rent somewhere where they already have like the basic furniture, some even like kitchens, very basic, almost like an Airbnb. But it's like you can rent directly. Like you don't have to go through Airbnb if you don't want to. So that was, I wish that would catch on more here.
So once you were there, you went in July of 2023. And once you were there, you originally wanted to be there for 3 months. What made you feel like you either wanted to stay longer, or what made you feel like it was financially possible to stay longer?
Originally planned for 3 months in the pay period budget. And I was kind of using that as just like day-to-day budgeting like here, but over there. And so I planned out the whole time, like how much we would spend, or I was estimating we would spend. And I would adjust that the longer we were there, like eating out. It was in Thailand, because we actually ended up going to 3 different countries. So we stayed in Thailand and then Malaysia and Vietnam. And then especially when we got to Vietnam, like food costs dropped because it lower cost of living there. But I would keep track of our expenses weekly. And then as I was projecting out, I was seeing that, well, if we keep spending the way we are now, and that plus what I like my way work is bringing in, like we could stay longer. It's like we could come back to the U.S. and start spending all the U.S. stuff again and cut like my husband's time off short. Or we could stay a little bit longer. And 3 months away is almost like 1 month being back. So we're like, why not? Like, why not stay gone longer?
Yeah. That's amazing. It's so interesting to think about. I think when you have a very short list of places that you stereotypically think of vacationing to or visiting to, it's usually the ones that are more expensive than here. So it's really fun to kind of hear your experience about traveling somewhere that was a lot less expensive than here. So like you said, it was like, if he came back, he would have to go straight back to work in order to cover just your normal living costs and all that stuff. But if you stayed and continued to travel, it extended the amount of time that he could be off for virtually the same cost, which is just fascinating.
If you're not paid once a month, why are you budgeting that way? A monthly budget ignores the fact that sometimes your expenses are due before the next paycheck is available. A pay period budget is built around your unique pay schedules so that your money doesn't feel like a mess. Create an accurate, realistic plan for getting the most out of each paycheck. Get started budgeting by pay period today with the best-selling budget template and mini course from me, Debt-Free Mom. It's available for just $9 at debtfreemom.co/template. I spent years feeling frustrated that my money wasn't working the way it should. It wasn't until I discovered the magic of budgeting by pay period rather than by month that my money started to feel stable. Pay Period Budget Academy is my signature budgeting course that helps hundreds of women take control of their home finances. Join today at debtfreemom.co/PBA and use the code podcast at checkout to get 20% off your membership.
So how long did you stay in each country, or was there one of them that you were in the majority of the time, or was it kind of an even split between all three?
Yeah, so Thailand, before we went, we got the visa, the e-visa, and that one gives 60 days, so like 2 months. And then you can renew it while you're there for another month, which was a really easy process. We just went to the office and then they renewed it, and it was very quick. And then after that, you have to leave, like, because it's a temporary visa. And so after that, we went to Malaysia for 30 days and then Vietnam for like another 40 days or so, and then back to Thailand to fly back home. And for that, because our flight was originally, you know, like a arrive, like leave 3 months later in Thailand, but we extended it because I made sure to get the one that allows you to do like a change without fee. You just pay the difference. So that's how I planned for that. I was like, just in case we stay longer, I want to be able to extend it.
Were flights really expensive, or was it also one other kind of thing where it's not like a super popular area to go, so it was easier to find flights? What was that like, just kind of booking in order to get over there?
Yes. Oh, this is, that reminds me, it's another big that line item in planning, like the lodging, food, and flight, like transport, how to get there. So since we planned this out like more than 6 months, we could wait to get a good ticket price, because usually flights to that area of the world, it's like $1,500 for one. But if you watch it like at least 6 months ahead, really more like a year is better. Then you could get a pretty good price for two people. Watched. And then when I was planning out the budget, how I did it is I kind of averaged the cost of the flight over the whole time we were there. Because in my mind, that's kind of the cost of being there. So it's like, as long as like I had our monthly budget, like expense, as long as averaging the cost didn't go over that, then it was fine. Because we wanted to visit other places like Japan, Taiwan. But when I put in our budget numbers, I'm like, it's more than we want. Like, yeah, it's like kind of too expensive to go there. And then staying there was also not fitting in the budget. So I was like, yeah, I would have like multiple, like, if we went to Japan, like, this is how much it would be. And if we went here, this is how much. And so I would decide based on, like, that's not fitting in our numbers. Because kind of, like, my goal, even though we had our, like, savings, of, like, if we don't have to use it, that would be ideal. So I think we used, like, maybe, like, $1,000 or so. But we, like, most of it was still there after we came back.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, just as someone who has not done that at all before, now that you did that for 6 months and came home, what were your big takeaways from that? Even like separate from financially, like what was it like to live in a totally different part of the world for 6 months and then return 6 months later? What were some of your big aha moments?
Kind of related to budget, but just for us, like if I've always wondered, I'm like, if we didn't have to worry so much about like spending, like how would we spend, if that makes sense? So over there, we could be a little bit more relaxed with the budget. You know, like eating out, it's like here, I'm like, oh, maybe like just once or twice, you know, I have to watch the numbers. But over there, if we didn't have to watch it, like what would we do? And really, we would go out maybe once a day, maybe twice a day. But we're actually not that big eating out spenders, or at least for me, like we like to keep it simple. So it's like maybe one coffee somewhere or a drink, a snack, but we weren't like major. And we actually wanted to cook at home sometimes. So my husband learned to cook over there since he had time off. That's another thing I learned. It's like, oh, when he's got time off, he can, he like learned to cook. He would clean. It was really nice.
So what was the grocery store like?
Yeah, it was, it's, they have grocery stores like here. Over there, it's the Big C. That was the big one in Thailand. But it's like here, like a Walmart or like a really nice one. And then they had the open air markets outdoors. So we'd sometimes get our veggies from there. Yeah, but everyone was really nice. The other thing we were trying, when we left, we actually got rid of a lot of stuff because we're like, we don't need to keep. People don't want your stuff and you have more stuff than you think you have. So like we didn't have much because we lived in a, like a little like 600 square foot and before that like 500 square feet. But yeah, it's like I have way more than I thought I did even here. So. Yeah, probably have too much stuff. But yeah, and then just people are nice everywhere. Like, I don't know. That's the other thing I learned. It's like, we're all really similar, like, wherever you go. So it was just, it was a really nice experience.
That's amazing. So you said you came back in January of this year, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like coming back? Like, were there things that you maybe decided to do differently after you had been gone for 6 months? Like, did you maybe, I don't know, change any of your eating habits once you got back here? Or were you more, like, conscious of how expensive things were now that you've had a different price comparison?
I really miss being able to walk around for entertainment because that's a lot of what we would do. We're like, oh, it's, I don't know, like 5 o'clock in the evening. And like, let's go walk around somewhere, you know, just to hang out and get out. But you don't have to spend money if you don't want to because they would have places where you could sit and see people like in the public area, but it wasn't like a, like going into a coffee shop to do the same. So when we got back here, we wanted to keep doing that. And you, it's not the same. There's nowhere to go to do that, really. Especially at like in the evening, like usually people just go out to eat or like go spend money indoors somewhere. So that was one thing I like really missed. We would just walk around the neighborhood. It's not the same. And then the other was that really enjoyed having like my husband like off work. Because he was just in a much better mood. So we're like, maybe you can start working with me. Like, I remember when you and Kyle start working together, I'm like, oh, that would be so cool. But I didn't think that would be possible, so, what, a year or so ago? So I was still barely starting my business. So I was like, I don't know if I can do that. And now I'm like, oh, I think I can do that now.
Did he kind of change his mind on what work looked like for him when he came back? Or did he come back to the same job he was at before?
So he got, and a friend, like literally the day we landed, a friend or someone he worked with before called and was like, hey, you should come work here with us. So he's kind of got a similar job, but he, yeah, he's been wanting to change, like, so he's been thinking about like, yeah, I would come work with you and then learn other skills. And then who knows like what else after that, I guess. It's kind of like what Kyle's done where it's like, you know, you get other opportunities to do
things. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely been really cool for us. Of like when he left his job, he left in October of October of 2022. So a little over a year and a half ago. And yeah, we didn't really even know what it would ultimately work out to look, you know, what it would look like how much he would work with me versus how much he would be like freelancing for other people. But it's crazy how fast time goes that it's already been like a year and a half of doing that. And you know, he works, I mean, a lot less directly with me than we maybe thought we would, because he's just enjoyed finding other things. Or you know, like at a certain point you kind of have word of mouth too of just like, oh, we heard that you build websites, could you do one for us or whatever. And not having that like 9-to-5 schedule kind of allows him to say yes a lot quicker, which is cool. So it's definitely it's not a super common thing, I would say. Like I feel like we really have to like explain it. And like we work side by side, but we don't work like together. I don't know if we could work like together, but it is, you know, just like you said, like just having so many years of him having a full-time job out of the house, like it is nice to have him around and, you know, seeing different parts of the way we live at home and all that kind of stuff is definitely a cool change. It's a scary one. I'm sure, when you guys were like deciding to leave, I'm sure there was fear mixed with excitement.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It was Yeah, definitely, because you don't know how it's going to, like, looking back now, I'm like, oh, it turned out fine. It was better than I thought, actually. But yeah, before, I have a journal, so I like to go back and look at, like, what I was writing, because this is around the time we were preparing. Like, it was a month before last year, and I'm just like, I'm sure it's going to work out fine, but, like, on paper, I have the plans and the budget. We have our savings. So it's like we've planned for this, but it still feels scary to do something like that. And even for my business, it was all fine. Like, there's no issues there. I already had it running well with my clients. Like, communication was already set up. Like, how we interact was set up. I even got new clients while I was gone. So
amazing.
Yeah. So it was like it worked out fine. And it's like, yeah, I would. And now we're just trying to plan, like, basically what's next, because we still like traveling. We were like, maybe we'll be done with traveling after this, but it's like, no, we still like traveling.
So do you have plans of doing, like, longer ones like that, or just being more out of your home base and doing more frequent shorter travel? How did that kind of shift the way that you thought about future travel?
For future travel, I think this trip was maybe the first one, like, fully budgeted, planned out, because our other trips were, well, maybe second one, but it was the first big one. So for future travel, I want to keep doing that, just because it feels better when you go on a trip and you're like, all right, I already know I plan to spend this much. And you can see, like, if I go over, like, how that'll affect the rest of your, but I really like that. It was like, it's just almost like permission to, like, enjoy the trip and spend while you're there. Because you're not messing. And then, yeah, just kind of, I took the travel budget and added to it so I can, like, I basically have, it's like that one column with, like, a trip, like a location, and then how much it would cost to get there, expense, cost of the flight averaged out over how long we stay. And then I have that for, like, different places. So I use that to decide where we'll go next, basically. So it's like, whatever fits the budget, then, like, we'll try to go there.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. That's a good idea too for, like, when you just want to go somewhere, but you don't have, you're not set on, like, I have to go to this location. You kind of just want to travel in general. It's a good way to kind of get a pulse on what's the most realistic, you know, like, if we want to go somewhere expensive, it's going to be farther away. But if we go somewhere less expensive, we could go earlier. So along that note, to kind of wrap it up, if somebody is, like, listening and they're like, I love the idea of this, but the actual execution of it, like, kind of intimidates me, what would be some things that you would recommend someone doing to kind of, like, get their finances ready to do that? And then also just feel the confidence to be able to do that.
Definitely knowing your number. I kind of found Paypared Budget when I was really diving into personal finance. So, like, learning just the basics of how much you should save, like, know how much you have saved and then how much you're spending every month, like, just have that on paper. I mean, like, whether you make your own or use the Paypared Budget, but, like, knowing that, like, I put that down on paper clearly. And then I even found out I had a retirement account. I worked part-time for a college years ago, and I didn't realize I had one there when I was, like, reviewing, like, all my old, I think it was a pay stub, and I was like, what is this deduction? I was like, I have a retirement account. So I found, like, a few thousand dollars that had been taken out, and I didn't realize it at the time. So, like, your expenses, if you have any savings somewhere you didn't know about in an old job, like, basically put all that in one place so you know, like, where you're at right now, like, what my debt is right now, what my money is right now, my paycheck, and then knowing where you want to go. Like, for me, I just wanted to have our, like, savings at a certain place since I do have variable income and we were going to be gone for a bit. So knowing that, and then, like, kind of going forward from there, but it's almost like you can't plan without knowing where you are right now. So for me, that was, like, a big.
Did you have any, like, as you guys were deciding that you wanted to do this, did you have any personal financial goals that you wanted to hit? Like, we want to pay this debt off before we go, or we want to have, like, this amount in savings. Did you have any, like, what's it called? Like, prerequisites for, like, we want to have this out of the way or finished before we do big travel?
We luckily we we didn't have any, but it was more like the savings. Cause I, like I said, I'm like a saver and I err on the side of like overly cautious. So I'm like, I want to have this much in our saving before we just like a few, like another month or two than what we usually have, just a buffer. Just to make me feel better. Like, my husband's like, he's like, it'll be fine. But I'm like, I like to have a buffer. So, yeah, that was kind of the main one. And then my business. Yeah. So, like, that. And then my business, like, once it brings in a certain number every month, then I'm like, okay, I would feel going. And also that was running well, too, because I had, like, newer people. And I wanted to make sure this, like, how we work together was set up before I just, like, went to a different time.
Before you're accidentally calling at 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah. So I was like, let's get this beforehand. I think that was for, like I said, I have like full control over the budget. So it's more like telling my husband, like, okay, so now let's, you know, try to spend this much for when you get snacks at work. And so we can hit this goal and I'm keeping him updated.
That's amazing. I think really like listening to everything that you've kind of described, it's just one big testimony of what is possible when you, like you said, when you know your numbers and when you have things in a plan ahead of time. I think the idea of kind of flying by the seat of your pants or like winging it when it comes to your finances will really prevent you from being able to do something big like that, you know, from really feeling empowered to say, hey, like you can leave your job and we can go to a different country for 3 months. Like for so many people, that sounds just like out of the question, right? Like there's no way, simply because of the unknown. But like what you are describing is with just a little bit of planning and a little bit of discipline around what you do with your money ahead of time, you can then make some of those choices. That's certainly how Kyle and I felt when he left his job, is like, if you live a little bit differently than what people assume that you live, you then can also make choices that make people go like, well, how the heck can they do that? Right. And so I love like everything that you're describing is just this, it's pointing to the benefits of budgeting and that budgeting truly does like open doors and increase your opportunities. And it doesn't take things away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah, when we came back and people asked like, oh, how'd you do that? It's like, I know it's just that general question, but it's like, I mean, I would love to like sit down and like put the numbers with you. So I'm sure you could do it. Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, getting all on paper. I don't know. I don't know like how much you make or whatever, but I'm assuming you're not like making millions of dollars and you know, like it's like average, you know, a normal, like we like to call it like a regular people's budget, right? Like you can do these kind of things on a regular budget.
Yeah, it's like, we've never together made more than like 50, 60 in a year, 1,000 a year. So I'm like, we're just very average, normal. It's just planning, like having that plan, like seeing the numbers, like that's how much it's going to be. And then you're like, that's possible if I do this, you know, but you gotta have the numbers. So you can.
Yeah, I love that. Well, that's amazing. This, I'm so excited for this conversation because I hope that it gives people, maybe someone doesn't have a dream of going to Southeast Asia for 6 months, but I think just in general, it can kind of give people who aren't yet budgeting a taste of what's possible with that little bit of planning, with that little bit of effort, that some of the things that maybe currently feel not in the cards for them could become an option by having a plan ahead of time and knowing what those numbers are. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come and chat about it because I think it will inspire people to travel, which I hope it does that. But I think just also inspire people to have a budget as a way to do some things that they didn't think they could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so too. It's like budgets are great.
I agree.
Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Mom podcast. If you want to join me as a guest on the show, go to dfmpodcast.com. The Debt-Free Mom podcast is hosted by me, Carly Hill, and is produced, edited, and mixed by Kyle Hill. Music for this episode was written by Kyle Hill. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to join in with every new episode as we grow our confidence and contentment in our personal finances.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.